Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
I want to start this evening's teaching by reading from the King James Bible. I want to read from the book of Matthew chapter 6. I particularly want to read from the King James because there is an expression that I use in verse 22 of that Matthew chapter 6, which is so instructive that we note. But I would just like to read from verse 19. It said, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up," he said in verse 20, "for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now note that verse 21, he said, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." He now said in verse 22, which is where I'm going, he said, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Verse 23 now says, "But if thine eye be evil, thine whole body shall be full of darkness." Further on, he now talked about the fact that you cannot serve two masters. Notice that in verse 24, he said you can't serve two masters because you have to hate one and love the other. So it's not possible to effectively serve two masters. Now, there's a reason why I read this from King James, like I told you, is because he used the word single. If your eye be single. I heard Derek Prince teach many years ago, and he explained that that word is very appropriate in that context because some other translations may use other words like healthy and stuff like that. But he said the word single has a connotation which is very important that we note. Now, you know, we have been speaking about how to birth the vision of God in your life, and we have made a number of points. And today what I want to emphasize about is that singleness of I. Let me highlight a number of points before I do a short review. Notice that he said, one, it's important where your treasure is. That's where your heart will be. That is what is important to you. That's what you will constantly think about. I want to apply it like that. You see, if somebody really likes somebody, you can't help but talk about the person. Whatever you really like, you find out that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You constantly talk about the thing that is inside your heart. And he's saying here, what is important to you, what you consider valuable, is what your heart is going to settle on. There your heart, he said, will be also. He now said that you must have a singleness of eye in life. You must have a singleness of purpose. That's what he's saying. You must be focused on something that you are doing. Further than he explained the fact that if you don't do that, it's going to be very difficult for you to sustain life because you cannot serve two masters. If you look in this context, what he was emphasizing was that singleness of eye. So he said, if your eye be single, you know, this is very important. Now, there's a reason why I read this. I want, because we are continuing what we have been discussing about how to bear the visions of God in your life. And I want to review for a few moments what we have said up till now, some of the most important things. I explained something at the earlier parts that what's most important is that the vision must be first birthed in your heart. Remember, we read from Genesis chapter 1. We looked at what happened there, that the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and it was void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. But then next thing is told us that the Spirit of God was now moving or hovering upon the surface of the waters. And then God said, that is, before God began to create, what happened was that His Spirit was moving over the surface of the waters. It wasn't just that He was just roaming around, not knowing what He was going to do. But what in reality was happening was that He was incubating what was going to come out of the current situation. He looked at it intently and conceived inside Himself what He wanted to arise out of the situation. And when His heart was full, what the next thing was an eruption from His mouth, which came like a blast out of His nostrils, like the Bible said in Psalm 33. And Moses interpreted that and said, God said, "Let there be light." So what happened was light was first in the heart of God before light came on the surface. So we explained from that first of all, your vision must be firmly birthed in your heart. It is not just something that you are wishing for, because that's one of the problems in life, which is what I want to talk about again today. People are not focused on anything. They're just running to and fro like the devil. They really don't know exactly what they want out of life. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, today now you hear that, making pure water is it's a very good business. It's selling. So people start buying pure water machines. Everybody wants to make packet water. You want to sell because you want to make money. And then tomorrow you hear that that's not the thing that is raining. It will sell recharge cards, telephone credits. So people start buying recharge cards and then they want to sell. Then you hear that, oh, interest, stock market is the quickest way to make money. Then people start gathering all the money. People sold businesses in recent times, sold houses, sold a lot of things because they want to make quick money out of the stock market, you know. Then the next thing I knew, they said, no, it is Forex trading on the internet. Let's trade Forex. Everybody starts moving towards Forex. The newest one I heard recently was oil and gas on the internet. And people organize programs to teach you how to trade Forex on the internet. And, you know, and maybe you go there because you don't know exactly what you want to do in life. You're just looking for quick gain. That is the opposite of what Jesus called, if your eye be single. Do you understand my point? That is, your heart does not ever come to a point where it is full of a single purpose. You're getting what I'm going to say from all these things I'm saying. So you see that we are not focused a lot of times, and that is why we are unable to get results in life. I said something last time, which I must review for us again. Don't forget, what God gives you, he said, occupy till I come. Do business with this till I come. He has given you a piece of money. He has given you a talent. He has given you something. And he said, do business with it until I come back. And I said that you get vision based upon what God has given you, and you focus your mind trying to birth what God has put inside your heart. And as you succeed in doing that, you follow me, then God will bring forth out of your life dreams beyond your imaginations. In fact, you know, last time I was saying something, and I think I should emphasize it again. There is a difference between dreams and visions. There are visions you can see clearly. You understand what you want to do. For example, you want to start a company and you want to manufacture, as an example, plastic chairs, and you can see it clearly, and you want to be able to employ 15 people. You want to be able to create employment in your society. You want to be able to give to charity from what you are doing. And then as you work upon that, God allows you, all right, to succeed in doing it. But when you have succeeded in doing that which you could see clearly, creating a plastic company, you understand my point, then now from there it takes you to a place that's beyond your own imagination. Maybe it turns out he makes you a ruler of a nation. Maybe one day, because of ideas that come into your heart, he makes you a founder of a very great bank. I hope I'm not just losing track, but you know, I just need to relate this to you. The other day I was watching a speech given by Muhammad Yunus, who was the one that won the last Nobel Prize for Peace. And that was the first time it was being given to somebody who was not actively involved in maybe things like human rights and fighting for the society, but he was the founder of a bank in Bangladesh. Now, listen to him talk. He explained the reason how he came out to become what he became. That he never really started out trying to become a famous person. He was just a university teacher who was working on some things, and he wanted to help people. And the first thing he noticed, that when he went amongst the poor people, he discovered that a number of people were enslaved to loan sharks. You know what I mean by loan sharks? You know, they lend you 100 naira, you pay an interest of 20 naira every month, meaning that you can never really pay eventually. So you are stuck to, you know, you're in a vicious cycle of poverty. So when he totaled the amount of money that a certain number of people were owing, he felt so bad that people could be held in bondage because of this amount of money. So he took money by himself and paid up so as to free the people from poverty. Now, when that happened, he realized that, look, I can help these people. So he went to the bank and tried to persuade the banks to lend money to the poor people. And he spent years trying to persuade the banks, and the banks never lent money to the poor people. Now, what he now did next was to try and raise some money and begin to lend to the poor people. That's how he started his Grameen Bank. He became a banker. He never intended to become a banker. I think it was university economist, was teaching economics in the university. He wasn't trying to become a banker, but trying to help people, he became a banker. And then eventually they started a telecom company. At the end of the day, the man is world renowned. And let me explain something to you. I don't know how rich he is as a person, because most of the businesses he started to help the poor, he does not even hold shares in it. I guess he just gets paid his salary like anybody else. But at least one thing is for sure. He has won a Nobel Peace Prize. He employs literally thousands and thousands of people to work for him. And they are affecting hundreds of thousands of lives, if not millions of people. Now, you know, I said something earlier that the visions of God, that's how they are. You want to bless people. It's not the vision that me too, I want to drive a big car. I want to be pastor of a very great church so everybody will know I'm anointed. I want to become, no. It's I want to help people. I'm digging inside to see what God has deposited as a talent, as a gift inside me, with which I will bless somebody else's life. Now, I said that when we are beginning to use that, you see, God, like he took Muhammad Yunus and made him a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and the man becomes an international speaker. If it is money he wants, God has given enough of that to him. But that's not what he wants. He's just trying to eradicate poverty from the earth. He made a statement which was very interesting to me when I heard it. He explained that his aim, that he believes that we can totally eradicate poverty from the earth, so that we will have to create poverty museums, so that our children, our great-grandchildren, we have to go to the museums to go and see what it was like to be poor those days. Now, it looks like a far, flung imagination of him, a wide dream of a man's heart, but that's actually what is occupying his heart, and he's working doggedly towards that. Now, he may not succeed alone, but at least he can sow the seed into the hearts of many people, so that when we ride upon that, the seed grows in our heart, all of us can walk towards it, God blessing us, and we go towards that goal that this man was walking towards. Now, what am I trying to explain? That being faithful in little things, he saw the opportunity to free some people out of bondage, the bondage they were in, in the hands of creditors, and he did that. And then he saw the opportunity, or created the opportunity. Remember the other time we talked about creating the opportunities for prosperity. And when I was talking about that series, please try and lay your hands on the CDs and listen to them. When I was talking about that series, I explained and emphasized again and again that I'm not talking about creating the opportunities for personal prosperity, but I'm talking about creating the opportunity for prosperity, that you can create the opportunity whereby you and everybody else will be blessed. And that's what this man was doing. He was creating the opportunity for other people to be blessed. And God showed him favor. And God increased him so that now, the interesting part, they invited him to come and start the same kind of project in the United States of America. Now, I'm not talking about in other African countries. They realized that there are poor communities in America that need this kind of project. And they invited this man to come and help them start his kind of Grameen Bank that he has in Bangladesh. You are getting the point I'm making here. Listen, God gives each person something to do to bless his society. It's as we are doing it that God will now lift us up to a higher level. I've explained something before about the blessing on Joseph. A lot of us with our selfish and materialistic, and their covetous mentality will think that God rewarded Joseph, all right, with being a prime minister so that Joseph could enjoy life. But actually, that was not what happened. Yes, yeah, a great thing, because one of the greatest things that God can do for you in life is to give you a good name, because he said a good name is better than silver, is better than riches. You understand my point? It's better than gold, is better than riches. All right. Now, so Joseph had a good name, but you see, being a prime minister is beyond the matter of the fact that I have enough food to eat. I can live in any house I want. I can go anywhere I want. I can wear anything I want. No, God gave him the opportunity to be able to preserve lives for people. When he was going to talk to his brothers, he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." He said, "You thought you were selling me into slavery, but God was sending me ahead that I might preserve many lives." And when Psalms was going to talk about it, he said, "God sent a man ahead of them." That is, Joseph was elevated that he might fulfill the purpose of God. What am I trying to explain? That as you are faithful in using, in bringing forth, using these principles we are teaching to bring forth the little vision that God has given to you, then you are preparing yourself so that God can take you and lift you up to a higher level. Now, I've spent so much time saying things that I've said before, just I would need to lead the emphasis, all right, in this. Another thing I said, which I want to emphasize again, is if I run into what the main thing I'm trying to bring to us today. And that's the fact that when God created, he didn't create all at once. He created in steps, and there's a reason for it. The first thing he created was illumination. Don't forget that. The first thing he created was light. Before he began to separate the waters from the waters with the firmament, before he made dry land appear and created seas and the dry land, before he created vegetation, before he created the animals and finally made man, first thing he brought on the scene was illumination. And I explained one principle there, that you must be enlightened concerning the vision that you want to bring to pass. Let me develop that further. Please don't walk in ignorance. One of the things that upsets me the most about Christians, especially Pentecostals, is when they move by the Spirit all the time. You know what I'm going to say? You want to talk sense to somebody, he tells you, "This is what my Spirit said. This is what God said I should do." Now, you cannot argue with him because he now said that it is his Spirit, implying that it's the Holy Spirit that's speaking to him to act in such a foolish manner. People are not enlightened. They are taking giant steps. Do you follow what I mean? You see, listen, they said that fools rushing to where even angels fear to tread. Sometimes people who claim to be of faith. Notice how I use the word claim, because sometimes it's difficult to differentiate between faith and foolishness. And this is how I differentiate between faith and foolishness. Listen, sometimes people who claim to be of faith, all right, they are just acting foolishly. Oswald Chambers, I'll tell you what I mean, how I differentiate it. Oswald Chambers said that faith, listen, he said faith is not in opposition to common sense, but that it transcends common sense. Let me explain what I'm saying. That is, a man of faith is not the ignorant man. Let me say it in my own words. A man of faith is not the man of ignorance who does not know anything, who just closes his eyes like the ostrich and say, my God is able. A man of faith is the person who is aware of the situation, and being aware of the situation, has prayed about the situation and has a testimony of the Spirit. Now listen, he has a testimony of the Spirit that everything is going to be all right, number one, and he has a direct instruction or a direct understanding concerning what he should do while God makes everything all right. Please, I pray that God gives you understanding what I'm saying. My difference between the man of faith and the man of foolishness is that a man of foolishness does not even have information. But a man of faith has had the information. He has heard everything everybody wants to say, and he has presented all these facts and figures before God. And God has shown him through many methods what he can do about the situation. Now, he may not make sense to everybody else, but he's persuaded concerning what he will do. Listen, when Jesus, if you go and read the story of the multiplication of bread for the multitude, in the book of John chapter 6, now, this is the interesting part. The Bible testifies there was a great multitude following Jesus, and a time came in which he realized that they needed to eat. So he called to Philip, where shall we buy bread that this may eat? Now, the Bible said in verse 6 that this he said to prove him, that he was testing Philip, for he himself knew what he would do. Now, get what I'm saying? For him, it wasn't guesswork. It is not let us forget it, these people will be okay. No, he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip and the other disciples were discussing and explaining what the difficulties were, but Jesus had the clear understanding of what was going to happen. He knew he would take the bread, he knew he would give thanks, and he did not have any iota of doubt in his mind that the people were going to have enough to eat. How he came to that conclusion is a different matter. But the point was that there was no doubting in him. He was not closing his eyes. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 6 verse 6, he said he himself knew what he will do. Now, let me give another illustration. Now, if you read in the book of 2 Kings chapter 6, here is a story in which soldiers were sent to go and arrest Elisha. And Elisha was in a particular place, all right? And the soldiers came and they surrounded him. They came from the king of Syria. Now, what happened? His servant saw the soldiers. If you read in that 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says that when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host encompassed the city both with horses and chariots. And the man shouted to his master, "Master, how shall we do?" Now, the master relaxed. That's the point I'm coming to. He just simply answered him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." This is the point. He wasn't just sitting down saying that everything will be all right. He knew that the angels of God were guarding him. He was so convinced of that fact that when his servant wouldn't relax, he prayed in verse 17. He said, "Lord, I pray, open the eyes of this fellow." And when God opened the eyes of this man, he saw the mountain was full of chariots and horses of fire round about Elisha. That is, Elisha, maybe he saw them, or he just had a persuasion in his spirit that the Holy Spirit infused into him that these people are here to protect you. Therefore, he relaxed. Now, listen, if you are watching from outside, Elisha is being foolish. But from inside Elisha, do you understand my point? That's why you can't judge the things of another person. From inside Elisha, there was no iota of doubt that everything was okay. That is a man of faith. The man of faith has seen the situation, but he is walking according to a higher situation. The man of foolishness does not even understand what is going on. When you try to talk sense to him, he said, don't worry, God can do it. When you try to explain something to him, he said, don't worry, Holy Spirit is leading me. He's not aware of anything. He does not know what is going on. Now, he wants to birth a vision. Let me give an example. You know, I give an illustration the other day that I was watching on TV, a program sponsored by a bank in which, really, it's a reality TV show. They could give money to sponsor people's businesses, but they will interview you first. And most people fail in the fact that they will ask them simple things like, this thing you want to manufacture, who are the people that consume it? And they are not so sure. Okay, those who even know who's consuming it, they say, how many are they in this country or around this country? They ask them specific questions and they have no idea. They are just excited about the fact that we want to manufacture. And of course, the people who are enlightened say, look, simply, I'm sorry, we cannot give you any money. That is, the people don't yet have illumination. Please don't forget that thing. Illumination is so important. You must be learned. You must be educated concerning what you want to talk about. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? If you want to paint, you should know what other people have painted before you and how they painted it, the kind of colors that they use and the kind of colors that they don't use. You don't go around reinventing the wheel. You know, I told you before, those who have heard me a number of times, heard me say this thing, that sometimes it upsets me when they tell me that, oh, we have this young wizard, we have this young genius, but Nigeria is not encouraging his own, that the boy made a fan when he was in secondary school. And when I see it, I say, look, only ignorant people who have never done science are excited by that. When we were in secondary school, we all made electric bell. These are things we can make. The diagrams are in Abbott, the diagrams are in Nelcom. You settle down, you wind your wires, these things will work. It does not mean you're a genius. But people who don't understand, because they have never been able to do those things, they look and say, oh, the little boy who did it is a genius. Listen, if you are enlightened enough, not everything will move you. Do you get the point I'm trying to make here? So sometimes, you see, when we have visions, please, before you step out, you know, there was a series I did some time ago, which I'd like to recommend again. I titled it, Cooperating with the Seasons of Life's Adventures. And I said that life has seasons. And the first season is what I call the season of sit down and count. That Jesus said, which one of you will want to build a tower? Who will not first sit down and count the cost and check whether he has enough to finish it? That is, you must be informed concerning what he wants to do. And it's the same thing we're talking about here. This is a parallel. That illumination is the first thing that God spoke during creation. He said, light be. Understanding be, clarity be, let us know what we are dealing with. Our good example in the Bible, talking about faith and foolishness again, Abraham. You know, there's something I want you to note about Abraham. Now, we know that Abraham received a child by faith from God, even though his wife was old. Talking about faith again, it is not as if Abraham was ignorant of the thing that was going on. Are you getting what I'm saying? Abraham was fully aware of the situation. When God called him, the first thing he said, what do you give me? When they were discussing the child matter, seeing that I go childless, he knew that was the issue, that his wife was past bearing. Now, get what I'm saying? Now, if you read from verse 19 of Romans chapter 4, the Bible says, and without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body. I've heard some translations say he did not contemplate, but literally what he said is he contemplated his body. That is, in fact, that's New American Standard I just quoted now. If you read from the New Living Translation, he said it like this. He said, and Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though he knew that he was too old to be a father at the age of 100 and that Sarah, his wife, had never been able to have children. That is, he knew. Listen, a man of faith knows his troubles. It is just that he has understanding of God that helps him know what to do in the midst of his troubles. Let me say this again. What now? Listen to me, if you're a Pentecostal who is moved by the Holy Spirit, because I have found that a lot of people who claim they are moved by the Spirit, who their Holy Spirit is pushing them, the truth is that they are lazy. The truth is that they don't want to study. The truth is that they don't want to rise up early. I remember one brother, I was told about those days in school. I knew the brother, but I didn't hear him say this directly, but a very close friend of his told me that's what he used to do. He's on campus. When everybody's getting up in the morning, they want to go to lectures. They say, you are relying on the arm of flesh. The arm of flesh is not necessary. That faith, by faith, he will pass. He would not go for lectures. Of course, eventually, when exam time came, his faith did not help him. He failed and he failed thoroughly until he was advised to withdraw from the faculty. Just to complete the story, his faith now helped him. He prayed to God in repentance and went and begged the dean of the faculty. And they allowed him to repeat the class and stay back. And he was eventually able to graduate as a lawyer. Now, this is the point I'm making. It was not
his faith that was the issue, but the young man was just lazy. A lot of us are lazy. We hide behind faith when we don't want to do something. We hide behind the leading of the Spirit when we don't want to get up and face the challenges of life. Are you getting the point I'm going to make? When we don't want to get up and go and study, you say, no, my God can do it. Listen, what I'm coming to is this. The Holy Spirit leads people. Listen to me. The Holy Spirit leads. What the Holy Spirit gives you is understanding and illumination. You will suddenly have a clarity that other people don't have when you're taking decisions. That's one of the major ways that the Holy Spirit leads. There's another way he leads in which you will have finished doing something you won't even know when you did it. Listen. And then it turned out to be the perfect will of God. But for somebody to settle down and make calculated decisions based on ignorance, it's not the Holy Spirit. Listen to what I am saying. What the Holy Spirit gives you is understanding. And I can prove it to you from the scriptures. You will see when Eli was going to begin to speak, all right, because he was the youngest among the four friends of Job that came to console him because of his troubles, in the book of Job chapter 32. Now in verse 6, the Bible says that Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, spoke out and said, I am young in years and you are old. Therefore I was shy and afraid to tell you what I think. I thought age should speak and increased years should teach wisdom. This is where I'm going, verse 8. He said, but it is a spirit in man, and the breath or the inspiration of the Almighty gives them understanding. Listen, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit enters you and gives you understanding, like Jesus Christ in the book of John chapter 6, verse 6. He said he himself knew what he was going to do. To know what to do is what the Holy Spirit does for you. It does not lead you in the midst of your ignorance. Are you getting my point? It is not just the fact that I have a feeling. Yes, I can have the feeling that everything will be all right. But then when I have to take a step, I take my step knowing what to do. Now, this is what happens to a man of faith. A man of faith has understanding that other people don't have. For example, Jesus was caught in a fix. They asked them to pay a tax. Peter said they would pay taxes. And there was no money upon them. There was no money on them at that particular point in time. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit gave him understanding. And he told Peter, you go and fish. The first fish you will catch, open the mouth. You will find enough money inside. He wasn't guessing. He knew what he wanted to do. I said, light and understanding is the first thing that God gives to you. And it's as you act upon the light and that understanding that you begin to create the next level. That you will understand how to separate the waters from the waters by a firmament. That you will understand how to separate the waters below away from the dry land and cause dry land to appear. That you will know how to bring forth vegetations out of the dry land. Without light, you can't do that. My time is up. I'll continue to develop that issue of the singleness of I next time. I hope you've gotten my point.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.